All right. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
So Drew talked about the waffle thing. I had this great idea. I like alliterations. And so I had this great idea for the waffle welcome breakfast, right? And I thought it would be really cool. I thought it would catch on. And I thought people would say, hey, you come over here and we got the waffle welcome breakfast, you know, because you can't call it the waffle pancake breakfast. Doesn't really roll off, you know, doesn't work the same, you see? So waffle welcome. Welcome waffles. And so that's what we're doing. But the prerequisite to enjoying a welcome waffle is to be new, not just hungry. So eat somewhere else if you're hungry. But please join us today if you're new. Amen. It's really good. So as usual with me, there's a... he just got it. as usual, when I speak, I have a lot to go through, so we'll just jump in. Is there anything that I needed to share? No. Okay. Amen. So I'll read our scripture today, and then we will jump, and we'll pray, and then jump in. Coming from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, and we're continuing with our series on the Beloved Community, Dr. King's Beloved Community, and today we'll be talking about accountability. Last week, Pastor Drew spoke about friendship, and just included in relationship, in friendship, there has to be a level of accountability, right? Accountability, is even just to the relationship itself. So we'll talk about that. If you'd like to follow us along in your own Bible and you don't have one today, please feel free to take one from the back shelf. If you don't have a Bible at your home, please take it home and enjoy, all right? That is our gift to you this morning. So Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, beginning in verse 1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry his own load. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Please pray with me. Lord, we're thankful, and probably not even as thankful as we ought to be, for your goodness toward us. Grateful that you would keep us through another week. Grateful that you would bring us here this morning. Lord, I am grateful for this group of believers, for these people that I can come together with and corporately worship and honor your name, corporately seek you and hear from you. So this morning, Lord, I'm asking that you would do just that, that you would grant us grace even again, that we could hear from you, that you would grant Holy Spirit, hear from me, that through God the Holy Spirit, your word, Lord, will be proclaimed with clarity, with power, with accuracy. It'll be proclaimed in such a way that my brothers and sisters here would be able to understand, that we would see you in your word, and as we see you, we would come to know you as we ought, and from knowing you, we would love you, trust you, and obey you as we ought. This morning, I pray that your word would cause change. It would cause repentance, conviction, and even in someone this morning, it would bring about salvation this morning. Lord God, just pray that you would be with even the children on the other side of the wall. That you would bless their teachers. You would grant them Holy Spirit, that they would speak clearly and with accuracy, even to the children, the way they can understand. And Lord, you would open their little hearts. Your word would sink deep, and you would reap a harvest 30, 60, even 100-fold times that which was sown this morning. Lord, we just thank you for your promise to never leave nor forsake us. We thank you for unending love. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his cross. And we thank you for your favor upon us this morning. Again, please be with us. Thank you for hearing us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. So, again, we'll be talking about accountability. And I thought it might be a good idea to preface my talk on accountability with just saying that earlier on in the series, we talked about inclusion, and we talked about how it is you become a member of the beloved community or the church, right? Excuse me. I didn't mute my iPad. Just technology. But we talked about how you're included into the beloved community, and we talked about how that's only through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Only through faith in Him by grace, you're invited, you're included into the beloved family. And so just wanted to make sure we understood that what we're speaking about today, accountability, is not the way in which you're included into the family, but as a member of the family, it's a gift to us. Right? As someone who has been included into the church, into the family of God, as someone who's been blessed with friends who are part of the family of God, it's something that God has gifted to us through in community, in friendship. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. So, that's what we were talking about when we talk about accountability this morning. And so, for those of you who don't know a little, just another part of my story, you've heard some of it, some of you. But about 5 years ago, I was working corporately here in Atlanta, and I knew that the Lord wanted me to go back to grad school, particularly for seminary, for the ministry. And so I received a scholarship to RTS, Reformed Theological Seminary, but I received a scholarship to the campus in Orlando, in Florida. I had absolutely no friends in Orlando, actually no connections of any kind in Orlando. Actually, when I think back to it, it was quite crazy. I knew absolutely no one, I mean, period. There was no church, there was no anything, there was just the school. But what I did have in going to Orlando was the hope. I had the hope that there would be other people just like me, just like, you know, like undergrad, right, like colleges, people just like me from all over the country, all over the world, who were uprooting their lives and going to school and pursue this education. And I felt like I would go, I'd run into these people. I thought maybe, man, I might even meet a wife, and I'd meet these friends, and, you know, it'd be just like college, you know, I'd make these lifelong friends, and it'd be great, you know. You know, here in Atlanta, I had a really good church. You know, I had my family here. I had my two dogs. I had my gym. I had everything here. But I felt like I knew the Lord wanted me to go, and I went. And I just felt like, hey, this is gonna be great. I'm gonna have friends. I could not have estimated at all how immensely difficult it would have been. It was going to be to make friends. I struggled deeply. Being in Orlando was probably the most alone I've ever felt in my life. I was at a school with about 500 plus people, and I struggled. You know, if you're single, you probably know this. I met really nice people. They were good Christian folks, you know. But it was this kind of thing where, you know, 95-98% of them were married. They were starting their families even though they were in school. And I would get the friends who would, like, you know, it'd be like 2 p.m. on a Tuesday afternoon, and they'd call and say, hey, my wife just went out of town. Come on over. And I was like, well, I have plans. Really didn't have any, but I felt used. And so I didn't want to go. You know what I mean? You know, it's like all this other time I'm free and lonely, you don't call me, you know. Or you might have had the situation where, you know, and mind you, married and children people, maybe you didn't know this, children people, maybe you didn't know this, but there are those times when we love coming and having dinner with you. We enjoy it with you and your family. But it's kind of this thing where you feel so alone and you invite us alone to come have children. Time out. To come have dinner with you and your children. Right? And you invite us over, and we love the gesture, we enjoy it, but oftentimes we leave just reminded of how alone we really are, you know? And so I would have those kinds of friends, you know, invite me over, and you'd go, and you'd leave, and be like, well, I guess back to my thing, you know? And it was just, everything reminded me of just how alone I was when I was, I call Orlando my desert wasteland, my desert place. Because that's really what it felt like. Before I went to Orlando, I had gotten immensely involved in CrossFit. Who knows what CrossFit is? All right, yeah, good. Not personally, yeah. But you've heard of it. You've heard of CrossFit. Well, from a distance. On TV, I heard them say the words. But I had gotten involved in CrossFit. Fitness was a big part of what, you know, my life already. And CrossFit isn't very cheap. And when I got to Orlando, I kind of gave that up because, you know, being a full-time student, I didn't make the kind of money. So I would just work out myself. I actually got into running. And if you know me, running is not my thing. I have really bad knees. But running kind of was free. And I would just run, you know, and I got up to running 2-3 miles, you know, and 2 miles in under 15 minutes or 16 minutes. I was doing really well with that. And I just felt like, man, I still just need some type of community. So an administrative assistant at my school, I came to find out her son had recently opened a CrossFit gym. And I was able to go, and from the first day I got there, I was like, wow, okay, I think this is it. I think this is the kind of community I was looking for. There were people from all different cultures, races, backgrounds. You know, right across the street from the gym, there was a neighborhood with million-dollar homes. Right behind it, there were apartments that were not nearly million-dollar homes. There was a school down the street, University of Central Florida, so we had college students. And there were just a bunch of different people. And it just seemed like everybody would come together, and there was nothing but encouragement. There was nothing but just love. And I remember I would show up some days, and I would just sit in the corner, and the owner would come to me and say, "Hey, Leon, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm just here, you know." And he just let me sit there. And eventually he hired me as a trainer. He gave me a key to the gym, which I still own, I still have to this day. And it just really felt like God had placed this little community here because he knew I wouldn't find it. I couldn't find, as sad as it says, I couldn't find this kind of community in a church. I couldn't find it with the Christian people I went to school with. But here I was at this place, and these people were not Christians for the most part, and they just loved me and included me, and it was just beautiful. And so when I left Florida and then came back to Atlanta, what I had in mind in building community, I didn't think about the church, essentially. I thought about building a CrossFit gym. And so I came back and I started a CrossFit gym in the hopes that I would build this same kind of community. But ultimately, I just knew that gospel community was where the Lord was calling me. And so, by the grace of God, here I am. But in that community, there were some things that I discovered that I found it was essential for a true community to happen. And I think that's why I love that place so much. A couple of them we've talked about already. One of those things was inclusion, right? It was inclusion. These people didn't know me from what did they say? Didn't know me from Tom or know me from Adam or whatever they say. They didn't know me at all. But as soon as I walked through the door, it was like, hey, come on in. You know, work out with us. There was commitment. These people, you know, he gave me a key to the place. You know what I mean? There was kind of this inherent trust. He didn't know me from anybody, but gave me a key to the place, hired me on. And lastly, what I realized was what was so important, it was accountability. Accountability. You know, we all wanted to be fitter people, healthier people. And in this community, what we did was held each other accountable to these goals. And so when I think about accountability, done right, I often think about my gym in Orlando. I'll tell you how much of an affinity I grew for the gym. The gym was originally called CrossFit High Performance, but recently they changed the name to CrossFit Independence, and I actually was hurt by that, you know, because I felt like, man, they changed the name of my home, you know. But that's how much I actually fell in love. They're still the same people. They're still great. It's just, you know, how things go. And so, accountability. Accountability is necessary for true fruitful community to happen, for true relationships, friendships to happen, for us to be able to go deeper than just surface level things. Accountability is necessary. So let's just take some time to first define accountable. What does it mean? What does accountable mean, which is the root of accountability? Well, it's really simple. It means responsible. Right? So to hold someone accountable means to hold them responsible. To hold them responsible. Now, in the hopefully I can make this connection, you guys can understand. In the fitness community, the CrossFit community, we're trying to hold each other responsible for what? Our own health, right? Our own fitness goals, those types of things, you know? That's what we're trying to do. And in accountability, it's important that we define our goals. Okay? Because it's one thing if, you know, for example, if you don't mind me using you, Barry, it's one thing if, you know, I do the sound a lot. You know, I do the sound. Barry's up here. If you didn't see him up here, he's a great guitarist, right? And so it's one thing if Barry knew my job here was had nothing to do with the sound. I worked with the children. That was my son. And Barry came in one day and was like, Leon, I need you to turn me. I'm in this kid's room. He says, Leon, I need you to turn me up on the soundboard. I'd say, well, Barry, that's not my thing. Well, no, Leon, you're responsible for it. Well, no, I'm not. Because you understand, when there aren't clear goals, when aren't defined, what am I going for, then accountability just doesn't make sense. Right? But because Barry, there's an agreement, Barry's up here playing, I do the sound. When I'm sitting by the soundboard, he says, hey, Leon, can you turn me up? Then he has the right to hold me accountable for working the soundboard. Right? Does that make sense? And so that's what we mean when we hold each other accountable. So what are we holding each other responsible for or accountable for within the church, the beloved community? Well, to put it as simply as I possibly could, in Christian community, we're holding each other accountable to Christian living. All right? We're holding each other accountable to, in other words, okay, holiness. And I know that word is somewhat multifaceted. But when we speak about holiness, we're talking about living a life that lines up with God's word, right? His requirements for Christians. That's what we're talking about. And so we seek to hold each other accountable for Christian living, or in other words, holiness. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 16, he says, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. That's God speaking. Holiness is living in accordance with God's word. And here's the thing. Our goal, when we hold each other accountable, when I come to, say, Barry, and I speak to him about something in his life that isn't necessarily matching up with living with God's word or anything like that, you know, it's the probably what's most important about me doing that, right, is my motive. What am I hoping for in him living with God's word? Oftentimes, I'll give you just I'm speaking a lot about myself, but unfortunately, when it comes to accountability, when I think of someone not doing it really well, I think of myself. When I was in college, for some reason, and maybe it's because people saw that I was faithful, that I sincerely desired to honor the Lord in college, which isn't extremely common in college if you've been there. Guys in the dorm and stuff, and usually late at night, they'd want to kind of, you know, hey, Leon, you got a second to chat, and they'd want to tell me their deepest, darkest things, you know. And oftentimes, it was good. It was cool. I would get to chat with them and share faith, you know, things about faith with them. But sometimes, I was quite a jerk about it. You know, I would just be like, hey, man. They'd say, hey, man, I'm struggling with this. And I'd say, yeah, I hear you, man. Just stop it. Hey, man, I hear what you're saying, bro, but just stop it, dude. You know, like, it's you know. And or there would be this situation when I would, if someone called themselves a Christian in particular, and they would have a struggle of some sort, I would use that as a measure for their spirituality. I would measure them by that. So you say you're a Christian, but you're not quite doing this. Bro, I don't think you're real about this thing. And you see, that's not the kind of accountability that's truly fruitful. And so when I come to Barry or Barry comes to me, we're talking about holding each other accountable in this Christian community. You don't mind me using it, bro. And in this Christian community, right, when we talk about holding each other, it's important that, yes, we know the goal. I want his holiness. He wants mine. But what's my underlying motive for under that? And what we understand is we sincerely desire the holiness of our brothers and sisters because we sincerely desire God's glory in their lives as well as the full enjoyment of God in our lives. So I'm going to be gung-ho about his holiness because I so much desire God's glory, and I so much desire for Barry to enjoy fully who God is. And what happens with sin, especially unchecked sin in our lives, is that it robs us, first, of glorifying God, and secondly, of fully enjoying communion with him. And so that's the motive. Why are we holding each other accountable? Why am I concerned with what Drew's doing? Why am I concerned with what Barry's doing? Not just because I'm trying to measure his spirituality. And we'll talk about that in a little bit as we dive deeper in our passage this morning. Not just because, you know, there's a measure. And no, it's because I sincerely care for my brother Drew, and I sincerely want God's best for him. And that's to enjoy God fully, to glorify the Lord in his life. And so when I think about this, I think about a situation where a lack of accountability, where just kind of unchecked sin caused this tear, caused this breakdown in the enjoyment and glorification of God. And when I think about that, I go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, right? And that's the fall. I'm going to take some time to read Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through, I believe it's 13 or 14. You can turn it with me if you'd like. And I just want us to look at this, and we're going to go through a little bit. Verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the tree in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' 'You will not certainly die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?'" The lack of accountability. The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And then the woman, lack of accountability again, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So what we see here is Adam and Eve. And it's a beautiful picture. I love what it says. It says here, it says verse 8, it says that God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, I get the impression that this was a common occurrence, right? That Adam and Eve enjoyed such a relationship with God that they would take walks. And when you think about taking walks in the cool of the day, oftentimes you do this with people you love, right? You do this with husband and wife. You do this with your children. You think about walking through the field of lilies or frolicking, as they say. Marcus likes to frolic. Marcus to frolic. But you like to frolic through the, you know. And you imagine that, you know, God, this is a natural occurrence that you know, Adam with God before Eve came around, and then when Eve came around, God, Adam, and Eve, they would just take walks together. Can you imagine being so near unto Almighty and Holy God that he just walks and you walk with him? That is just incredible. And so Adam and Eve take of the tree that they weren't supposed to take of, that's sin. And then something crazy happens. For some reason, right when sin happens, now understand this, that God does judge Adam and Eve. He does pronounce a judgment, a punishment on them for this. But looking at this literally, God does not pronounce judgment yet. And before God ever pronounces judgment, something crazy happens. It says that they notice that they're naked. There's something inherent in sin, right, that automatically lets us look at what should be right, what should be pure, and instead shrouds us in shame. There's something inherent in us sinning, right, that no matter where we stand with God, and I'm speaking to us as Christians, remember what I said earlier, as believers, we stand before God right because of the finished work of Christ. But there's something inherent in our sin. When we sin against God, that automatically we look at ourselves and we want to cover ourselves in shame. And who we choose to hide ourselves from is God. And automatically, that relationship, that being with God, that walking with Him in the cool of the day, that lovely illustration of us being in good relationship with God, just seems to be broken and marred. And so what we seek to protect each other from when we hold each other accountable, when I come to Drew or Marcus or Barry and I say, hey, bro, how are you doing here? How can I help you? How can I pray for you? What I'm seeking to do is help him to live the kind of life that would keep that walking with God uninterrupted, that would keep his enjoyment of the Lord God, the one who loves him, to keep that uninterrupted. And that should be our desire, that should be the why for accountability as we are part of this beloved community. Amen. You know, you think about how much trouble we would have saved if Adam just held Eve accountable, right? And so, these are the reasons why we seek to hold each other accountable. It is so that we can enjoy God's glory in our lives and we can enjoy God. But so how is accountability done? And now we turn back to Galatians chapter 1, verses 6. And this is talking about the one, we're going to get to the one being held accountable. Understand accountability is a two-way relationship. It's always going to flip-flop. One day I'm asking Barry, Barry's asking me, and then it goes. But so what? How should I be when I approach my brother or my sister? Well, we look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. And verse 1 it says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. So how should we be in holding each other accountable? Well, first, we should help hold each other accountable gently. Accountability should be done gently. Now, always, you know, I can look at myself again because I was the one who didn't do it right. When my brothers came to me or friends came to me and shared with me struggles or something like that, asking for me to hold them accountable, you know, I remember I was so terrible. I remember one time a friend asked me to hold them accountable, and he came to me once and was like, yeah, man, I'm still struggling with this. And I was like, well, okay then, take care. That was it. And I was just terrible. But the reason why I was this way was because, if I'm honest, and we'll get to this, you know, my harshness, my lack of sensitivity, my lack of gentleness was because I didn't consider myself appropriately. When you understand the kindness of God, the gentleness of God with you, it'll be impossible for you not to be gentle with your brother or sister. Amen. So there has to be a necessary understanding of the gentleness and kindness of God to us before we're able to extend that to other people. And so, how are we to hold each other accountable? We ought to hold each other accountable gently. Be gentle with your brother. Even if sometimes you have friends, and sometimes friends are just wrong. They are. Sometimes they're just hurt. Sometimes they just need to vent. And when you consider how God is with your just being wrong, and when you just need to say things, you know, then you're able to say, I understand. I got it, you know. And know when is the time to jump in, and when is the time to sit back and listen and be an ear. Is that making sense to you guys? Yeah. So let's be gentle. But secondly, and this is in verse 1b, the second half of it, says, but watch yourselves, for you also may be tempted. The work of accountability is a difficult work in that it can cause you to miss some of your own blind spots. What I mean by that is I remember a preacher, a pastor of a church I attended, he would say there was a friend who he was trying to quit smoking cigarettes. Okay, this is not a sermon on cigarettes, so please. But he was trying to quit smoking cigarettes, and he asked his pastor to hold him accountable, help him with that. And he said for some reason, after one day of talking to him about his struggle with cigarettes, he had never smoked a cigarette in his life, but he felt the strongest urge to smoke a cigarette. It had never occurred to him to smoke a cigarette, but he just felt the strongest urge. And he used that as an illustration for this particular verse. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted in helping your brothers and sisters with their own struggles. Oftentimes, being careful, it may cause awakening new desires and temptations and things of that nature. And so my accountability with Barry needs to be checked by my accountability with Marcus and my accountability with Drew and whatever. And you understand? Is it making sense to you? So be wise in your accountability. You know, it's probably not best for there to be one-on-one accountability relationship between a man and a woman, especially if the two are married. And this is just wise. I'm not getting anybody's business. This is wise, okay? I don't know anyone's business, so that's good. Okay? So just be wise in your desire to hold each other accountable. Amen? Amen. And probably these last two are the most important. We've talked about it a little bit. Hold each other accountable. How should you do it? Well, you should do it for love's sake. For love's sake. And not all of the other reasons. Verse 2, it says, and carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. In holding each other accountable, again, we're helping each other carry these burdens, right? And we're carrying this burden. What's the goal, right? The full enjoyment of God, the glory of God in our lives, for that to be uninterrupted. And in doing that, we fulfill the law of Christ. Well, what is the command of Christ? What is His law? John chapter 13 and 34, it says, a new command I give you, Jesus speaking. Love each other. Love each other. In holding each other accountable in gentleness, wisely, we fulfill the command to love each other. And lastly, and this is the part I was getting to earlier that I lacked in my accountability, we ought to hold each other accountable humbly. Humbly. Amen. In verse 3 and 4, it says, if anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test his own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to one another, to someone else. For each one, verse 5, for each one should carry his own load. You know, when my friends would come to me and share their things with me, and I lacked gentleness and I lacked love for them, again, like I said before, it was largely because I didn't have a correct assessment of myself. I thought I was good. I thought I was great. You know, people that always kind of affirmed me since, you know, I became a Christian fairly young at 13. You know, and I was faithful, and the church I was at, they would always say, "Oh, look at this young man," you know, and then you know, and I believed all of it. But let me just help you. If you're struggling with this kind of pride, that a God is committed to the humility of His children. And humility is going to come one way or the other. Okay? You're either going to humble yourself or you're going to be humiliated. It's going to come one way or the other. And unfortunately, for me, I have to go the latter route. The Lord humbled me. And so now, understanding His kindness and His goodness toward me, when a brother comes to me and I remember how I used to be, I tear up almost instantly. I tear up almost instantly. Because I want the love of God, the mercy of God that I felt. I want this brother or in whatever the situation is, I want them to experience it the same way. So brothers and sisters, as we talk about the beloved community, as we talk about the church, as we talk about friendship and fellowship as members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the family of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us seek to hold each other accountable to this thing called Christian living, the Christian life. But let us make sure that we're doing it for the right reasons, because we desire that our brothers and our sisters enjoy fully what God has for them, that He is glorified fully in their lives. And that goes uninterrupted. And as we do this, let us be careful to do it gently, to do it wisely, to do it for love's sake, and ultimately to do it humbly. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You so much for Your kindness. And again, I thank You for Your holy word. Lord, I pray that as we leave and we seek to honor You in holding our brothers and sisters accountable and in encouraging them and spurring them on to loving You and living a life pleasing to You, that we would do it well, and that we'd have sober assessment of ourselves in doing so, and just great appreciation and understanding of Your kindness toward us. Lord, I pray You continue to bless us, that we continue to build the kind of relationships of trust, of honesty, of love, where accountability can flourish and friendships can flourish, God. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.